Welcome to the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast, your best source for information, news, tips, and tricks to get you off the ground running and earn success with your custom apparel decorating business. So get ready to soak up some knowledge. Now, here are your hosts, Mark and Mark.
Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 16 of the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast. My name is Mark Stevenson.
And I'm Mark Vila, and today we're talking about customer experience matters.
And we're also talking about customer experience matters.
Customer experience matters.
We're going to talk about both of those things because, I mean, one reason is I hardly ever read any of the trade magazines, like Printwear and Stitches and Wearables and things like that. I hardly ever read them because, I mean, between Mark and I, we pretty much know it all. So I really don't think. But this time there was this like wonderful article in here called "The Power of a Positive Customer Experience," and I look and it's by Mark Vila, which
yeah.
I was so excited to read and decided we should base a podcast on.
Yeah, and you found it because I shoved it in your face.
That's true. Otherwise, like I said, I don't read those magazines.
Now, well, I flip through the magazines and read them a lot. I'm just always trying to think of new ideas and new things and how our customers can learn and do better. And I'll tell you, I was inspired by visiting Walt Disney World.
Okay, now you've got kids, so it's not mm-hmm. just you, like, by yourself wandering around Walt
that
Disney World in a
was
creepy
just
way.
Me.
Okay,
yeah.
That time was just you.
No, but I was experiencing, because they Walt Disney and the crew over there in Orlando, Florida, they've mastered this concept of customer experience from the music to the smells to the doorknobs. It is an actual experience, and that's one thing I mentioned in the article, but specifically, it really does matter in our industry as well, how we can deliver this awesome experience, which will create lifelong customers.
And I really never thought about it, frankly, until you started here. Not thought about it seriously, because you always think, you know, what impression do your customers have of your on your business? But there's a huge effect that keeps customers coming back or doesn't. And I think Coleman & Company does a particularly good job of this. In making sure that customer service and the personality of the organization comes through. So tell us a little bit about Mr. Vila, since you are the authored expert in customer experience. Tell me about what customer experience is.
Okay. So it's literally the experience that they have when they deal with your organization, when they deal with your company. So what is it like working with you and your company? What's it like? What does it feel like? And I think customer experience is more than just, it's not customer service, which
right.
is different. You know, customer service is serving them.
Yes.
Okay, it's taking care of their problems and their issues and smiles and all these things. But the customer experience is what they feel while they're experiencing and living through customer service,
right.
while they're placing orders, while they're getting products. It's what they feel. And if they feel awesome, if they feel that they like you, then you've succeeded.
Right, because you can get great customer service from a company and you just don't respond to it personally.
Yeah. You know,
like Disney World, especially here in Central Florida, people have an emotional connection to Disney World. You know, everybody absolutely knows, you know, we've all had season passes in the past, so everybody knows what that's like. You know, you get the phone calls beforehand, you get terrific service inside the rooms, you get, you know, the character breakfast. There is a personality to Disney World that people carry their whole lives.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you feel X way when you think about Disney. Now, you folks out in California, I'm not talking about Disneyland. That's a completely different experience. It's not the same at all.
And, which is true, you know, but it's the personality. I like when you had mentioned that, where you had said it's the personality of the company. So I think we could talk about, well, maybe, what do you mean specifically? Like, I understand personality of Disney World
right.
and what that was, but what would the personality of a t-shirt shop be?
I don't know, but, you know, when you, and I have to use this example, it's a terrible one, when you go into Abercrombie & Fitch,
okay,
you know, when you go into one of those retail stores, you are going to have a consistent experience. that you are going to run into basically androgynous models wherever you look. You know, you're gonna run into the 20 something good looking. The apparel's a certain way. The service is a certain way. It has a defined personality, and it's the same way. You know, when you go into a local pretzel shop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and maybe the guy behind the counter is a real character. You know, so you know kind of the kind of things he's gonna say. Actually, I'll use a better example.
Okay.
There is my wife is from Trinidad in the West Indies. And they have a particular flavor of Indian food. And they also have a personality to the culture. So there's a little roti shop here in Tampa. And whenever you go there, there's a woman that cooks all the food herself. And she has a lot of personality. And it's all borderline rude. You know, when you order a drink, she will ask you, what, your hand's broken? You can't go to the thing and get, you know, pull out a can of soda yourself. So I'm not saying that's a good personality. I really respond to it. But it's a personality of a business, and you can expect that. If I were to go into Abercrombie or go into this roadie shop, and in Abercrombie I see like a middle-aged guy with glasses that's running the counter, you know, and speaking a certain way to me, or if I were going to go into the roadie shop and someone was overly polite and walked me to my table and offered me extra butter, you know, then those would both be kind of disjointed. You know, it'd interrupt that personality, that customer experience.
Yeah, you go there. Yeah. If you walk into, say, Abercrombie and an older gentleman greeted you and's like, "Good evening, sir. How
right.
are you today?"
Right.
It would feel very weird.
Yeah.
It wouldn't feel right, and you'd be like, "That place was weird." However, even though you had somebody greet you, nice.
Right.
They had the clothes you wanted. Maybe the price was right. Everything was right. But then the personality was wrong because the person at the counter was different than the person. It felt weird, and you would walk out and saying that was weird.
And it doesn't match. But what we talked about maybe three times so far is that first kind of contact with your customer and how that experience plays out. But before you do that, you really have to, just like the roadie shop and just like Abercrombie & Fitch and Disney World, you pretty much have to decide on a personality for your business. And if you're a one-man shop or a one-woman shop, then the personality is you.
Yeah.
You know, or what you create. So we kind of were talking about the two extremely different personalities. And that's one where, you know, you try to be ultra professional.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so maybe you're a screen print shop and you deal up with Fortune 500 companies, or you're even a small home-based business, but your demeanor is very professional. You want things to be crisp and clear and very good looking, and everything happens on time, and that's kind of the approach that you want to take.
Yeah, like someone might describe it like a corporate feel.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is kind of the home-based business that maybe, you know, everyone, that all of your customers know that you have an embroidery machine in your back bedroom and you work after the kids go to sleep. You know, so the personality of your business may have something to do with taking care of your kids or the fact that you work out of your house, or it may be a homey feel. But either one of these are going to inform every step of your process. And if you're consistent, the people that gravitate towards you and do business with you will be lifelong customers.
Yeah, and a great little exercise to do. I always like little exercises and homework and things, because I
hate exercise.
It's like real world.
Yeah.
But I think what you do is describe your business, like personify your business like it's a person, and say, what would I like the personality to be?
Right.
You know, and it could be anything. Write down four or five words. Edgy, cool, funny, hip, you know, professional, corporate. You know, you write down these
quirky
words.
Nerdy,
yeah.
You know, whatever it is.
Yeah, write down a personality, and then every step that you're going to create, which we're going to go over, make sure it aligns with that personality. And if it does, and if it doesn't currently, change it.
Yeah, because the more consistent you are, and the more your customers know what to expect from you, and their experience is the same every step of the way, the better their feel about your business, and the more likely they are to talk about it. You know, if you have a very professional business, then your customers are going to appreciate that, and they may refer to you in that way. Like,
yeah.
Oh, you're looking for a real pro for direct-to-garment printing, then talk to this guy.
Yeah.
You should talk to this lady. She's hilarious, and she also does good work.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to get one of those kind of things, and it will benefit your business in the long run.
And I love all that stuff. I think this is a fun part of creating a business.
Absolutely. So let's kind of break down the steps. Are you ready for that?
Yeah, let's do
it. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to go through the initial call or contact. you know, and how your personality of your business and your customer experience might inform that and the following ones. Taking an order, kind of mid-order, doing a progress report, you know, if there's any issues, how you handle those. Filling an order, the packaging that you use and how you handle packaging and delivery, and then the follow-up. You know, how do you handle asking referrals or coming back to the customer over and over again?
So, all right, so the first thing that you said is the initial call.
Initial call or contact, and that can be somebody coming in or on the phone or email, etc.
Yeah, or a website. So that's the first thing that you need to think about, where how are your customers going to experience their initial contact with you?
Right.
So what I see too often is somebody that I talk to on the phone that is really cool person. You know, I like them. They're just, whatever about their personality, they're great. And I said, I would do business with them. And they say, yeah, you can just go on my website and I have a quick little form you could fill out and what you want to order. And then the website's terrible and it doesn't match their personality at all.
Right. And that is, I didn't even think about the website, which is funny, but that's very important, especially if, you know, if you're billing yourselves as the pro, as a professional, then you have to have a solid, polished website. If you're billing yourself as kind of a home-based business, you know, with a lot of personality and kids, then your website should reflect that as well.
Or you might not even have one.
Right.
And sometimes it's better for your, if there's a part of your personality that doesn't shine well, sometimes it's better to hold that back.
Right.
And it could be a website. We've talked about websites in a
previous
podcast.
Yeah, please listen to all those, because most of you have terrible websites. I have to be honest with you, you really do have bad websites, and it's not doing you a service. You'd be better off, for example, if you're the home-based business and you have all of your customers come from referrals, you should use your Facebook page and post pictures of your dog and, you know, do that personal touch with all your customers.
But you know, what we're saying really is the initial contact, the initial call. So, and this is, I think a lot of these things are just concepts and ideas, but how are you going to answer the phone call?
Right.
Will you have a certain greeting that you're going to say?
Yeah.
You know, if you're quirky and nerdy, you might have something that falls along with that. You know, maybe you have Star Trek music playing in the background.
Hi, thanks for calling Mark's T-shirts, you know, where nerds rule. Or, you know, we really don't care what you do for a living, just buy a T-shirt.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, all of that. And if it's really professional, have a very professional greeting. You know, good afternoon, thanks for calling. So, so have a greeting, have an initial way of answering the phone call, and that comes along with the website. That should match as well.
Absolutely.
If you have a storefront, the same thing.
Right. You know, if you are walking through the mall and you see a T-shirt shop and all of the T-shirts are nicely decorated, you know, you may or may not walk in. But if you have a T-shirt shop in a mall and you've got sci-fi T-shirts all over the place, you're gonna attract a certain audience. If you've got funny ones, if you are walking around in a mall in your fuzzy slippers and pajama bottoms, and you've kind of got that home-based feel no matter where you are, then you're going to attract a different set of customers. And people are going to respond to that.
Yeah, so it's huge. It's really important, I think, to make sure that the initial way that they come in contact with you, and like you mentioned, storefronts too, the signage on your store, where it's located, all these things all come a part of that initial experience. Do they like you right away? People make decisions and make judgment calls really quick.
Yeah.
And if you can get somebody like, wow, this lady is so cool.
Yeah.
This lady is so nice. This lady is so, immediately within that first minute, because of your website, your email address, whatever it is, then that will set the pace for the rest. The rest is easy.
Right. So let's say the initial call, you're Mary, you run a home-based business and it's all about bling. So you pick up the phone and say, hey, thanks for calling Mary's Home of Bling. This is Mary at my home. How can I help you?
Yeah.
You know, if it's professional, then like Mark said, hey, Mark Stevenson here from Big Time Custom Apparel. You know, we have a special today on 5,000 T-shirts. You know, how can I help you today? You know, so that personality has to come through that initial call.
And when you do that right, when you have that good personality in the beginning or reflects the personality that you want your business to have and to embody, then you move right along from there.
Right. And The next step is taking the order. But the other thing I want to point out about this initial call and about defining your personality is that if you are not true to your personality, then it will show up as some kind of a failure in communication or in expectations later on. If you are Mary's home-based bling shop and you try to come off like a corporate, you know, entity, then that's going to be difficult to maintain, you know, throughout the process. At some point, somebody's going to find out that you work in your garage, your bedroom, or in a house out back, and it's not going to match the perception, and you're not going to seem true. You know, you're not going to seem somebody that you want to do business with long term.
Yeah, authenticity.
That's the word.
Yeah, authenticity is important. I had read an article, actually, it reminds me a while back of saying I and we in businesses, when is it appropriate? And the author kind of just said, say we when it is we.
Yeah, I like that.
And say I when it's I. So if it's just you, you know, don't be afraid to embody that. And if you have people that help you, you know, let them know that too. So even if you want to go for that corporate environment, remember that whoever you're selling to is another singular person too often.
Right.
Match with that person. Let them know that you're going to represent them with their apparel. Well,
so that's the first step in customer experiences. What happens when a customer first experiences you and your company? It's a website, it's an email, it's an incoming phone call or an outgoing phone call, and just make sure all that stuff matches your personality of your business. The next thing is taking an order.
Now, this is the first step where I think most businesses start to fail.
Okay.
It was right at the beginning because they don't have besides just matching the personality. Because that's always going to be a theme throughout the whole thing, is matching the personality. However, in taking the order, you have to make sure that it's honestly just easy and comforting and non-obtrusive. You know, it's got to be something that when you're helping a customer take an order, for one, it shouldn't be a big form that they have to fill out that's work and barking orders.
It
can't be hard for them. You want them to be able to say, oh, it was so easy to order shirts.
Right.
Like, it was just so... I called up, I spoke to so-and-so, they answered my questions, or I went online, they had a really easy form I filled out, they stayed on the phone with me while I did it. But you want to make sure that when your customer is placing an order, that they don't walk away from it. They don't abandon the order part of the way through. Never mind. This guy, he sends me an email with this Word document that I open it up, it's not formatted correctly. Right. He said I have to fill out the whole thing if he wants me to do an order. I called up someone else down the road. They just took my order over the phone. It took like 15 minutes.
Right, and now we're done.
So maybe filling out a form is the right way to go for your business, but make sure that it's nice and easy and comforting and gives the customer just, again, an excellent experience in placing the order.
Right, and what we want to avoid too is the, you know, we send out a lot of emails here at Cold SE. I'm sorry if you get 5 a day. And a lot of the autoresponders we get back from companies, I know it's one of Mark Vila's pet peeves as well, have two paragraphs of disclaimers.
Yeah.
Like, hey, we only take orders of over this. Don't send us bad artwork. If you're calling on a Friday, we really don't want to talk to you after 2. You know, there's all of these negative things or all of these rules for them to do business with you. And if that's the personality that you've decided that that's your personality for your business, I mean, think about it like that. Is that really your personality? You know, if someone wants to place an order with you, do you immediately respond with all of the things that they can't do? You know, or, you know, when you take that order is, you know, okay, this is great, this is great, this is great, this is a great price, here's a great deal I'm going to give you. Terrific. Just send me the artwork and we'll get this all taken care of for you. Which one is it? Which one would you rather do business with?
Yeah, that's just so important. And it's one of those things that that always drives me a little nuts in doing business with somebody, is that, like, the thing I always say is, I'm trying to give you money.
Right.
Please take it in an easy way for me. I want to give you money. You want my money. Can we just do this in a way that's not like a pain in my neck?
Right. And I will say, too, that don't confuse a casual personality or having a home-based business or even a big professional business with being able to skip steps or leave things out or being unprofessional. You can have a great personality and still being professional. For example, if you take an order on the phone, you know, be easy, be fast, and but then send them a confirmation email.
Yeah.
To make sure that that's all correct. And, you know, give them the, you know, the expectations of delivery date in writing. You know, that's the experience that they're going to want. Yes, I talked to you on the phone. Yes, I'm definitely going to do it. I'm going to send you a confirmation email just to make sure that I got all this stuff right.
Yeah, and I need you to respond to that email. Yep. And confirm.
And then we'll get started.
And then we'll get started, exactly. And then this way, there's a clear communication, because communication is really what's part of that order, is making sure that you're communicating clearly. It's and it's not a pain to do. I think those are the two things for me in placing an order, is that it's got to be a clear communication. Don't send a quote, probably ever, by just emailing somebody what the price is.
Right. Hey, 50 shirts, $150.
Yeah. You know? Just you're going to miss something.
Yes.
Try to do everything in a quote. And that's the professional side of you. Your personality can shine in the quote, because you can have a silly image or a professional type of thing. And then the second part of it is to actually make it easy. And I always think about, and everyone's probably going to be able to relate to this, if you've gone to Walmart, what's the checkout experience like at just about any Walmart?
Yeah.
It's that they've got 40 checkout lines. So when you walk in, you're like, so cool. There's never a line.
Right.
No.
That's they've not the way
like
it works.
They've got like three open.
That's, yeah.
They've
that's
got
not
three
the way
out of 40
works.
Open, and you're in line, and then you curse, why am I here? You know, but that's not what you want to deliver to your customers. I hope not.
I agree. No, I agree. So don't make it hard. So when you're taking that order, make it simple, make it professional, and think about what your customer is experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what would you like? And if you've decided on a personality for your business, make sure that shines through when you take the order as well.
Yeah, great.
Okay? The next thing is going to be kind of like, I've got down here, progress report and issues.
So, make sure you're, I think this boils down to one thing or two things. They're all going to boil down to two,
yes,
probably.
Right.
But really, for me, when I hear that and I think about that, I think about making sure your customer just knows what's going on the whole time.
Yeah.
That they know when to expect it. They know that you're working on it. They know that everything's on pace, especially if it's going to take a little while. If they're doing an order that you're fulfilling right away, like you're a t-shirt shop in a mall or a storefront where, that you know, there's not too much going on.
Right.
But if you're placing an order for 500 shirts and 500 caps, and it's costing them a good amount of money now.
Right.
And it's going to take... For an event that's happening on a date.
Yeah.
And you told them that you would have it ready by Tuesday, and they ordered it on, say, you know, 10 days before that.
Yeah.
It's a great idea. You'll never regret just saying to somebody, hey, by the way, everything's on pace.
Yes.
Just wanted to let you know.
They will
you don't
love
have to worry
you.
About
they
it.
Would love. You know what? I would love that. Even if I get my car fixed.
Yeah.
I would like, you know, it's going to be there overnight. I'd like somebody to call me in the afternoon and say, just want to let you know we have all the parts.
Yeah.
And everything's going fine.
Yeah. So you can decide how you want that to be. You can let them know that the shirts have arrived, the blanks have arrived. You can let them know that it's past production and art. There's a place where I've ordered stickers and art from before, and I get these like little mini progress emails when it goes from one part of the company to the next, and it's like artwork has been approved, and I get a nice email that says my artwork was approved, and I look at it for a second, I smile, I delete it. It doesn't matter. However, it's not my stickers aren't supposed to arrive tomorrow. And I'm worried. Are they going to?
Right,
like,
no, you know what's happening. Now, you can apply personality to this as well. So if you are the home-based business, you know, and everybody knows, you know, you're the mom bling company, then maybe your progress report is, hey, they canceled a PTA meeting today, so I'm going to get your order out 5 hours early.
Yeah.
Or, you know, hey, my kid's got an A, so, you know, I mean, I'm going to actually knock $10 off your order.
Yeah.
You know, something that kind of connects you, your life, your personality with the business, and, you know, share that experience when you report what's going on.
Yeah, and, you know, the nerd one, you know, the email says status update t-shirts.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
Order has arrived and it will be
completed. Star date, whatever.
Yeah, so put it all together. Have a little bit of a personality to it, and just keep them in the loop And then the other part you wrote down there was issues.
Yes.
How do you handle an issue?
And you handle that with the same personality of the company. So let's say the blanks didn't arrive. I would much rather prefer to communicate that to somebody 5 days before the order to let them know there might be a problem because the blanks didn't arrive. Here's what I'm doing to fix it. Then it's the day that the order is due, and now I'm not going to get my shirts.
Yeah.
You know.
And you can also, because you can also find out, you can start to triage issues when you do this. So if you say, let's just say that you ordered a massive order of shirts from a company. You've got three or four customers, and you ordered, you know, thousands of dollars worth of T-shirts. You get a dozen boxes in. You start cracking them open. It's all wrong. They didn't send you your order.
Yeah, got
they
somebody,
sent you
else's,
somebody
order.
Else's order. And this is, say, $5,000 in T-shirts. Well, how am I going to handle this? They're not going to overnight me another $5,000. I don't know, will they? But if you call your customer and you just say, hey, I just want to let you know, your shirts arrived. Well, they weren't your shirts.
Right.
They were somebody else's shirts.
Yeah.
But I talked to them, and they're going to have new ones for me tomorrow. I should be on pace. If I'm a little bit late because of this, is that okay? Or do you, or and then just gauge. And
right.
they might say, I really, really need those. And then you say, okay, no problem. I'm going to do yours first ahead of everybody
right.
else's to make
right.
sure yours is on time. Because you might talk to the next guy who says, oh, I can't, you know, and he might say, oh, I'm not going to even use them till next Tuesday anyway.
Right.
Just have them to me by, you know, Friday.
Or it could be something like, you know, let's say that you go to place the order with your blanks manufacturer and they don't have that shirt or they don't have enough of that shirt. You know, so that's your first issue in the progress report. Say, hey, you know, I went to order these polos and they're not available, but I have a great substitution here. You know, let me give you that status report. Is this okay?
Yeah, and if they can turn around and say, I really want those other shirts. Well, I can't get those till Monday, which means I can't deliver your product till Friday. Is that okay? No
right.
problem. Well,
and
crisis avoided,
right.
rather than you play this other game of not telling them, trying to do a dance of like, well, they said that it'll be here Friday. I hope there's no delivery delay, because if they're Friday, I can work throughout the entire weekend
right.
and get it to them Monday, and the customer won't know any different.
Whew. Right. No, no. And because what'll happen is it'll be, your order will be late, and all you'll be able to talk about when your order is late is the fact that you didn't get the shirts on time.
Yeah.
And your customer does not care.
Yeah. And they didn't know. And in the meantime, there might have been another customer that you could have not worked on because
right.
they didn't care. I ordered these way early. These are like a
right,
month early.
Right,
it's
right.
fine. You
right.
know, so you're going to run into all that. And I run into that when I had somebody recently who had ordered some rhinestones. And they had ordered, it wasn't a ton, you know, of stones, but it was enough. I think they only needed to do maybe 10 shirts. But it was kind of a big deal client for them. It was somebody new that they were getting into, and they had some clout. So they thought, if I can treat this customer well, I can get some big orders from them. Well, they ordered them. Everything went well. However, there was like a storm or something. It was like South Carolina.
Right.
This is going to be relevant
right.
only till now, but like
yeah.
around, there was really bad rain in South
right.
Carolina a few weeks ago. So obviously delivery trucks could not go through where they normally could. So their order by UPS just said, we had to reroute all these trucks.
Yeah.
I can't deliver it till Monday. Well, you know, now she was in this, she felt like she was in this bind.
Right.
You know, and that's a situation where, you know, she's like, I have to get it by Friday. I have to get, you know, well, you should just call that customer and find out, because do you really need to, you know, and what are your alternatives?
Yes.
But you got to communicate with them.
Right. And that's going to be even, you know, you have you actually have an advantage in your customer experience if you have some kind of a problem that you overcome. Some of our best customers are ones that have had serious issues, but that we've taken care of it wonderfully. And the experience was so good that they become advocates for your business. You know, say, hey, like, these guys were late, but there was a flood and a fire, and they ran out of T-shirts, and they got it to me like one day late. They're fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, and if you can elicit that kind of a response, you know, because of the way you handled in between when you take the order and deliver the order, I mean, just think of the business that you can build up.
Yeah, so it's about providing, you know, everything is good and on pace.
Right.
Your communication, but also about how you're going to handle the issues and respond to those issues.
Right. And I just want to do like a quick footnote in filling the order, because that's next after progress report on my little list here. But honestly, you know, filling the order is just the act of actually creating the shirts. And of course, you know, you want to make sure you do the best job that you can. Don't get into the habit of making, just checking the box. Because the quality of the garment, the quality of your embroidery, your DTG, or your bling is vitally important. So part of customer experience is checking everything before you pack it up.
Yeah, and this all goes along with the personality of your business. It all goes back to that. If your business is, we do it fast, we do it cheap, we get it out the door, we got your shirts, and it costs you almost nothing.
Right.
Well, then you gauge your quality based on that.
Right.
So for you, it's like, well, no, I don't have the most vibrant print.
Right.
You know, or I don't have the most amount of rhinestones in my designs. I do them a little bit less dense.
Right.
But it's because they're cheap.
Right.
And it's cheap shirts and it's fast. So I could do these fast and cheap compared to somebody who says, we're going to do awesome t-shirts. And therefore, you're going to put, you know, pre-treat on your light-colored garments. I'm talking about DTG printing.
Right.
So they look more vibrant.
Right.
But that takes you more time and money.
Right.
Compared to somebody who's... So it's got to line up. So I think when you... In fulfilling the order, taking care of it fits with what the expectation
And that kind of rolls right into packaging. So let's say you are the big professional organization, and that's your persona. You wear a tie to bed. You know, maybe the quality control aspect of the order is that you have a professionally printed checklist. You know, you have the 10-point quality checklist for your order. And, you know, it's on the company stationery or on a postcard or something. And someone goes through and says, okay, that, you know, the embroidery is high quality. There are no pulls. The underlay was done properly. And all that is there, and it's signed off by somebody with VP in front of their name. And it's dropped into the top of the box. That same thing for the home-based bling lady might be, you know, a grocery list, you know, that says, hey, these are all the things that you know, I made sure that you got today with your order, you know, check, check, check. And, you know, there's a nice flourish and a signature and a heart and a puppy or something along those lines.
Wait, a real puppy?
Yeah, a real puppy.
Okay.
You know, maybe you write a little note, hey, if you find my kid's tooth, you know, in one of these boxes, let me know. You know, I don't know, whatever, like, reinforces the personality of either kind of organization.
Yeah, and I think the packaging is quite possibly the most... All right, so first, it's the initial contact. That's probably the most important
thing,
because that's going to be, do they like you or not right away? And to me, the packaging, it might be the next.
Well, I mean, and, you know, I gotta give props again, because Coleman and Company has done such a good job in the past year in upping their game with packaging. You know, so, you know, now when you get Coleman and Company rhinestones, you get crystalline with the, you know, the beautiful high-end packaging, you know, that lets you know that there's quality inside. When you get the ink that says genuine DTG, you know, on it, there's a label there with a, you know, with a date on it. You know, it's all very well done and very professional.
Yeah, and it's, you don't have to be perfect in everything.
Right.
And you don't have to be, you know, when you get, bringing up Disney, when you get your passes, they now give you these wristbands, and it's in a very high-end box with custom foam, and it's got your name printed.
I mean,
under
but
band,
the ticket's $4,000.
Yeah.
You know, I mean...
Exactly. So, you know, yeah, would it be cool if every single shirt was individually wrapped, you know,
right,
with a note? Yeah, but are you charging for that? You know, if you're not, then you just scale it down so it fits right within your personality. It fits in what they're paying for. But I think that some little things you can do that will basically cost you almost nothing... and in time and money,
right,
what will really step it up is, like you said, that checklist.
Yeah.
Whether it's handwritten or pre-printed, a thank you note.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
A generic thank you card, the cheapest one you can buy with plain, is almost good enough.
Right.
If you want to step it up a little bit, you can get your logo on it, or you can get the message even pre-printed in it, and
right,
you just sign it. But put that in the box. Maybe, so I'm just going to list out random ideas.
Yeah, please,
because
this is important stuff.
So maybe you categorize, you put all the sizes together in an order that makes sense. Extra, double X on the bottom, small on the top. Maybe you put a paper divider in between them that actually shows the size.
Yep.
Maybe you individually box the sizes as they come. Mm-hmm. If it's caps, make sure that they're all neatly stacked into each other, the way that a bunch of caps fit nicely together.
Yep.
It fold the shirts up in a way so somebody could take it right out of the box and put it on and not look like a fool because it's a wrinkled
and,
mess.
And fold them all exactly the same way.
Yeah, fold them nice because you have to think of what happens when people are passing out T-shirts. Or anything, you know, they're trying to, you have somebody who has to pass them out, which hates doing that.
Right.
No, I mean, that just, nobody loves doing that.
Right.
It's kind of annoying.
Yeah.
What size was that?
Because everybody complains.
Wait, yeah. So I wish I would have ordered a large, but you don't have to deal with that
right.
side of it, but help to make that experience better for
hey,
them.
And if it's if you're the professional, maybe you include another brochure for your product in the top of the thing, or you put in a flyer or a printed thank you card or something along those lines. If you're the home base, maybe you take a chocolate chip cookie and a thank you note and put it in a little plastic bagging. You put it on top of the shirts for the guy that has to pass them out.
Yeah.
And you want to talk about being a hero? You know, put a cookie or a brownie or, you know, a prize in the bottom of the box or something like that. You know, whatever ones of those things match your personality and watch people respond.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool things you could do. If you have a local print company or you go to an online print company, go through and look at all the different options and sizes of things you can get printed.
Right.
Whether it's cards or hang tags or whatever it is. Find something that you can... that will match your personality, whether it's an oblong-shaped business card or just a simple, nice, clean letterhead, that you can get a nice note or a flyer or something about your business, a thank you type of thing printed on, or that handwritten thank you note, get that in the box. And I think that one other thing you can do is even get tape with your name or logo or information on it. And don't do that four-corner fold-up thing on the box.
Right.
Then when you deliver it to somebody with a box tattered.
Yeah, it's hard to open.
It's harder to open, and it doesn't look as nice. Fold the box up nicely again and tape it. But if you've got some tape with your logo on it, that's even cooler.
Yeah, and it's not so expensive.
Yeah, it's not too expensive. All these things are not crazy. Now, if you really want to step it up, then you can... you can individually bag the shirts.
Yes.
You can get, like, from Uline sells those clear baggies.
You could even get them customized. You could get a box customized. You could write a note on the outside of the box,
mm-hmm.
you know, saying, hey, thanks to whoever's receiving this.
You can get boxes printed with pre-written notes on the side.
Right.
That look like...
But all that's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you're talking about things that you can do, but you see where we're going here. I mean, right from that initial phone call... to taking the order, to mm-hmm. get the quote, they get the email, they get a progress report. You fill the order and you're packaging, and it all works together. So you know they know that I got this cookie from Mary. Can we order from her again next year? Or I really appreciated dealing with Mark's big house of custom T-shirts because man, everything was spot on. I mean, I got the box and the brochure and the shirts look great. And they were professional. I definitely want to do business with them again.
Well, then, so you've boxed it up.
Right.
But now you have to...
deliver it. Yeah. Now, one thing that I used to do with another company I was with, and this was before the sale, but it applies after the sale as well, is everything I sent FedEx overnight. And let me tell you, 100% of the people in the world, if they get an overnight package from Federal Express, they immediately open it.
Yeah.
There's no question. So I would spend the money and the time and the care and making sure that delivery was correct and I got a response every single time.
Yeah, I think there's just with that with delivery, it's just communication.
Right.
You know, make sure they know when they're going to get it, how they're going to get it. Are they picking it up? Are you dropping it off? Are you mailing it? You know, just make it very clear ahead of time, too. That's why it's important to think of this step at the very beginning.
Yeah.
When you're communicating it all and you're taking the order and preparing it, you make sure you say, okay, you're going to come pick them up at Friday afternoon, you know, right? Or I'm gonna bring them to your business at this
right.
location between 2 and 5 on
And
Friday.
Who am I asking for?
Yeah. So just make sure that everyone understands how they're going to get it and that they're – cool with that.
Yeah, and if you're going to ship it or mail it, you know, if somebody says, well, I really want inexpensive shipping, just send it USPS, send it US mail, then say, okay, no problem. I'm just going to put on my quote that we have no idea when it's going to get there. You know, just like, you know, make that match the personality. You could say, if you're very professional, since you realize that if I send it, you know, through the post office, they won't guarantee the time, it doesn't track as well, and, you know, I have really less control of that. But I'll do it if you'd like. You know, and you do that. If you're married, then say, okay, well, you know, I sent a letter to my cousin Ethel out in California once, and it still hasn't got there. It's been 3 years. Are you sure that's okay? Yeah. You know, you could do that. So that's delivery personality. If you're delivering it in person, which I highly recommend if you do local business because you get to interact with your customers, then make sure that you and the box and the delivery process reflect your personality as well.
Yeah, and everything down to the way that you dress. You know, if you smoke, don't smoke in the car with the shirts in the passenger seat on the way. Right. Because maybe the person that's going to get them won't like that.
And they'll just open it up and smell tobacco.
Yeah, so you think about those little things. Yep. Make sure that you're dressed according to the personality. If it's quirky and nerdy, then yeah, show up in jeans, you know, rolled up and a Star Trek t-shirt. You know, and that's cool. They're going to love you for that.
If you're the home-based business, show up with a box of cookies.
Yeah.
You know, to deliver with.
Yeah, and you have to make sure that doesn't clash. So if it's a professional atmosphere, even though, like, your nephew might deliver for you and he's, you know, he's the kind of kid who's got, you know, a mohawk dyed black.
Yeah.
If your personality matches that, send him for the delivery.
Right.
If it's a corporate,
don't send that guy. Don't send that guy.
And we see that stuff happen all the time. You know, in business, just in general. So make sure that the delivery just matches up with the rest of it, and it's a clear communication of how and when and where and why.
Yeah.
And again, you should put all that in writing as much as possible.
Right. And it should be reflected on a packing slip. You know, are you going to deliver the invoice at that time? Are you going to collect payments? You know, just be prepared for all of that and make sure the personality is consistent.
Yeah. And I think there's some other little things you could do. If you're delivering to an office and somebody is going to receive it that's not the person that ordered it, you can have them sign that they got it.
Yep.
You know, what's your name? Have them sign it just like UPS does, you know, and you could, this way you can say at 2 p.m. Mary signed and she signed off for it.
Yeah.
And then I think communication comes back then after it gets delivered. If you're dealing with, you know, if you're dealing with Juan, who works in the ordering department for this large corporation, but you deliver it to the front desk, you deliver it, you have her sign off on it, then you shoot a quick email to Juan on the way out.
Right.
Like, hey, just left it, just dropped it off. Thanks for your business.
I like that.
And then there's what's next?
The next is referrals and follow-up. But I mean, let's think about this. We've talked about the initial call, you know, whether or not it's the initial contact, whether or not it's through a website or a phone call or an outgoing call or an email. Then we talked about taking the order and, you know, having that reflect the personality of your business. The progress report and handling issues to make your customers feel more comfortable. Filling the order and packaging, once again, referring back to that personality, by the time you get to delivery, you've really cemented the customer experience, especially if it's a first-time customer. What happened along the way up to this point and the quality of the garments when you deliver them, you've cemented what the person that you're dealing with thinks of you and your organization. So think about that when you do each one of those things. This is it. You're not going to be able to do a do-over next time if, you know, you didn't do a progress report, if you didn't track the order properly, if the packaging was all screwed up by the time it got to your customer. You don't get to recover from those. That's set.
Yeah, and you know what else is guaranteed? If you do this right, you're going to have more satisfied customers with the same exact quality of work if you didn't do it right. Because once you start doing a bunch of things wrong and you have customers that are upset along the way, then they're going to start looking at everything with a sore eye.
Right.
By the time they get it, they're going to look at half and be like, and the embroidery wasn't even good on half the shirts.
Yeah.
Compared to, the same exact quality delivered perfectly across the way, they already love it before
they love you. You know, that's a good point. I'll use my mailbox analogy, which I think I've used before, is that if you love your neighbor and they back into your mailbox by mistake, no problem. You're just going to put the mailbox back in. If you hate your neighbor and they back into your mailbox, it's war from then on. You know, you're setting fire to their bushes. You know, you're poisoning their lawn. Their cat's missing. That applies to this as well.
I don't want to be your neighbor
anymore. No, you don't. If you're creating a great customer experience, then they'll forgive the mistakes more easily.
Yeah.
And The next thing is referrals and follow-up will be multiplied tremendously.
Yeah, tenfold. Right. Tenfold. If you deliver an average experience versus delivering an excellent experience, you're going to get a whole lot more people. People are significantly more likely to share a good story.
Yeah.
And I don't mean a good story meaning that you ordered shirts and it was a good price and they looked good.
Right.
I mean a good story like the at home
yeah, mom like with the like cookies. This lady gave me cookies with the t-shirt. Let's order again.
Yeah.
You know?
Or these guys are so hip and cool.
Right.
They all have cool mustaches.
I was just going to say that.
You know, and then the thing is, like, that's a story. So it's not a story. It's not just a story of, like, yeah, they make good shirts.
Right.
But it's a story of, like, dealing with these, with this couple, you know, that handles this t-shirt from start to finish. It was just so good.
Yeah.
You know, and it was so cool and it was so friendly that they're just going to, they're going to tell people, not just because they're literally referring business, but just because we share stories all the time.
Yeah. It's a good story.
Yeah. And how often do we share stories about the grocery store?
Yeah.
Or, you know, anything in life. People just, that's what people do is they, Friday night, they have drinks or tea or go out to dinner and they share stories. Make yours be one of them.
Yeah. I agree. And so that leads us to referrals and follow-ups, and that's what's going to happen. Once you create the right customer experience, you're true to it, it matches the personality of your business, they'll talk about you and you'll get more referrals and you'll get more business. And you can apply that same thing to following up with your customers. So after you do the delivery, you know, maybe 5 to 10 days later, you call them up or you send them a card or you send them an email based on what your customer experience, you know, is designed to be and find out, what did you think? Did you like it? If you're the home-based mom business, then you're going to call up and say, hey, I just dropped off my kids at, you know, soccer practice and I saw the soccer shirts. I want to find out how yours worked out.
Yeah.
You know, if you're the big professional that's saying, hey, this is your 10-day follow-up call. You know, we'd like to give you a quick customer service, you know, survey to make sure everything went as planned. You know, and so you fill out the little form. Whatever it is, you know, that follow-up helps ensure that not only they remember who you are and associate you with what happened, but they will get that, you'll get that business in the future.
Now, but I'm scared now.
Why?
Well, what if they're upset?
If they're upset, that's a great opportunity.
I mean, seriously though, if I call them up and I could have left well enough alone, Mark.
Right.
I could have left well enough alone. Now I call them up and I've got somebody yelling in my ear.
Right. Well, I mean, that's awesome because if you didn't call them up, you would never hear them yell. You would never hear from them again.
Yeah.
So you'd never have an opportunity to get that same sale next year. If they are yelling at you, then you have an opportunity to take care of it. And Mark and I and someone else went to a social media conference, you know, maybe a couple of months ago now. And one thing they talked about was that that if you get a customer that complains, particularly online, if you are able to turn them around and become satisfied with your, you know, with your product or service, then there's a good chance they'll become an advocate and talk more about you and your product than they would if everything went perfectly.
Yeah, because they were so upset and you turned it around. So I think sometimes, you know, it will open up a Pandora's box every once in a while where everything was cool and quiet and you made a phone call and then now you found out somebody was upset or bothered because you did the complete wrong color on a shirt. You know, and now, you know, it just, their event didn't really click together like it really wanted to because the shirt was the wrong shade of blue and it didn't match. But it's just part of the game. It's part of the experience and you should do it every time because almost always they're going to say, thanks, it was great, especially if you did everything else before.
Or you may genuinely help somebody. So, for example, at Cold SC, I mean, I hope everybody knows, we sell, you know, commercial embroidery machines and bling machines and direct-to-garment printers. And believe it or not, sometimes people have problems with equipment. And especially if it's their first time in the business. So a phone call from us to listen to them yell about something about their embroidery machine will 99% of the time result in us going, well, you know, that's an easy problem to fix. Just don't forget to plug it in next time.
Yeah.
You know, it could be something ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, it could be something really simple that you fixed and now you're an immediate hero because otherwise that person would just sit there with a box of the wrong color t-shirts And every time they look, they're going to hate you. You know, or they're going to, because they can't use them, or you're going to be the hero that says, why didn't you tell me? I'll do that order again tomorrow, and I will deliver them myself tomorrow night.
Yeah.
And, like, what a hero that you would have never known if you didn't follow up.
Yeah, and it just yields long-term growth. You have to think of that as just a, this is a long-term plan. Because I didn't invest in equipment and start a business to be out of business next week. I did it to hopefully retire from or pass the business along to, you know, my son or daughter or nephew or whoever might take over. You know, that's kind of the dream, is maybe that you want to do this for a long time. You didn't just plan to do it for 6 months and quit. So you have that long-term investment in it, meaning that in other podcasts we've talked about, by the way, how's everything? Great. So when's your next event? I'd love to follow up with
you. Do that follow up.
You know, and then that's part of that's the long tail of the post, you know, what I call the post delivery. The long tail of it is going through and making sure that you just communicate with them, know what's going on in the future, follow up with them.
Yep.
Call them again when they, hey, you told me that your next event was on Valentine's Day, and here it is, January. Yeah. You know, got, you know, ready for shirts.
Yeah, and you know what? I got to say, I really, because we do have at least 5 or 6 people that listen to our podcast and do some of the things that we recommend in it. I really can't wait to see what people do with this.
Yeah,
I'm really excited to see, you know, if people take, because a lot of our customers have really strong personalities. They're very passionate about certain things. And that should be revealed in your business and your business practices. And I think creating a customer experience, like we've talked about in this podcast, is a great way to do that.
Yeah, and I think that this experience that we've delivered today is kind of great.
I think it's pretty good. Yeah. I think it's pretty good. I think we're all done. We've done the only thing we haven't done is ask for referrals. So if you have enjoyed this CAS podcast, episode number 16, then please share it, you know, with other people that you think might enjoy it, whether or not they're in the custom apparel business or not. We try to make everything that we say and everything that we teach and recommend apply to any small business.
Yeah, and really this applies to every single experience, every single business
yes.
in existence, from plumbers to coffee shops to apparel decorators. And everyone should do this.
Yeah, it's
and,
true.
And every time I look at how we do it, I want to do it a little bit better.
Right.
And you should be the same way and have goals to say, well, next year I might invest in that really cool box if business is going well. You know, and you should do that and always think about it and consider it. And we've talked about another podcast before to review it again.
Yes.
Don't do it once, but review it again in months or years down the road as things come along so you can improve the experience you deliver to your customers every single time.
So join us on our Facebook group, Custom Apparel Startups. It's a Facebook group. You can apply to join, and we will say yes or no based on the personality of your business.
There you go.
Definitely email us at host@caspodcast.com if you have any questions, need a personality test, or want to run some customer experience ideas by us.
Yeah, and I encourage that on the Facebook group for sure. We also do webinars. Those are product specific, but there is a CAS webinars.
Yes.
A website, and those are specifically about certain products and different ways to actually decorate apparel. So, you know, keep in touch with us. Let us help you the best we can, and we look forward to the next time you listen.
Yep. Thanks for listening, and have a great business.